Good morning, everybody. Thank you for braving the elements to be here this morning. Well done. I know you were all probably tempted to just curl up and lie in bed a little bit. Anybody? Okay, well, you obviously weren't enough because you're here. Just thought to thank you to the worship teams, and that was just a really deep sense of the Lord's presence there. But before we get into message, I just thought to say that you're deeply loved. Just wherever you're sitting, if you're in the parent section and your child has been wild or not, or if you're in the gallery, wherever you're seated, perhaps if you're standing, you're deeply loved this morning. God loves you with a love that goes forever and it doesn't change. Amen. We're busy with a series this term called Wisdom for Life, and we're looking particularly at the book of Proverbs. And let's please remember when we talk about wisdom that wisdom is not equal to being clever. Wisdom is about how you live, and the book of Proverbs focuses specifically on practical wisdom, how we live our lives well in God's world and in the world that God has made. And so if you remember, we began the term by focusing on different aspects that we found in the book of Proverbs. And so we spoke about God as a wise God, a God that created the world and knows how everything should work and how we should live. And we spent a number of Sundays talking about the wise God. We also spoke a little bit then about wise words and how the words we use and speak reflect what's going on in our heart and how God wants us to have good communication to those around us. We transitioned about two Sundays ago to talking about wise ties or wise relationships that we should have as kingdom people, people who put God's kingdom first. And we've had two very powerful messages in the last two Sundays about relationships and having good relationships with cultures and what's the relationship of our culture to the kingdom. And then last week, Pastor Rory Dyer from 3CI also shared about the relationship with the Father and the importance of living in the Father's name. Today, we want to continue talking about wise ties. And so we're going to talk about today specifically our ties with authorities. Okay, our ties with authorities. What's our relationship with authorities? Now, please note, I didn't say what's your relationship with the authorities. Okay, sometimes you hear on the news flashes people talk about the authorities are looking for. We're talking about authority in general, more a little bit about our relationships with leaders. And as I've been on this journey with Proverbs with you, I think I'm starting to, two things are emerging for me. One is that this idea of living a wise life starts in the heart. Proverbs says that you should guard your heart because everything else flows from it. And so part of this journey to live a wise life is a journey of the heart. And that's one of the things that's becoming clearer for me. Another thing that's becoming clearer for me is this little phrase, and that is that God's ways are the best ways. God's ways are the best ways. And I wonder what your journey of the book of Proverbs has been. What's God been challenging you on as we go? This idea that God's ways are the best ways always brings me to this place of choice where am I going to do things my way or the way that's always been done? Or am I going to take a real look at the scriptures and let the scriptures be like a mirror into my heart and see that I'm going to change and start doing things God's ways? I wonder what your journey has been as we talk today about ties to authority, what your experience of authority has been. Some from perhaps from the time when you were growing up in your home, what has your experience of authority been? Perhaps if you're more in a leadership position, and in fact, all of us at some stage in our lives also end up exercising authority. How have you experienced authority and how have you exercised authority? And if you think of your life, I guess part of the question today is which model of authority are you going to use? Are you going to use the model that you grew up with, which might have been very godly, or perhaps it was harsh and difficult and distant? Which model of authority are you going to live by? And so I'd like to invite you today that no matter what your experience of authority has been, if it's been fantastic, if it's been not so good, perhaps it's been devastating and terrible because authorities have misused their power in your life. I'd like to invite you to come with me as we look in the scriptures today about what's God's view of authority and how do we live this good life in God's world in good relationship with authorities in particular. And so I spent some time looking in the book of Proverbs in the week as I've been preparing, and I found that Proverbs, as it does with everything almost, has many things, much practical wisdom to give about how we can have good relationships with authorities. But as I was preparing, I felt particularly just, and I'll give it shortly, just to give an overview of what Proverbs says. Because Proverbs focuses particularly on practical wisdom and how to exercise authority and how to live under authority, I felt as I was preparing to give you this overview, but then to go to a place where we look at some of the principles that underlie these practices that Proverbs teaches us. And so we'll spend, just in terms of a quick overview, let's look at what Proverbs says about authority. Proverbs speaks to kings, to those in authority as well. It speaks to kings and those in authority. And it basically says two kinds of things about them. This is a very broad category. As I've mentioned, it's an overview. Firstly, it says that kings must exercise their authority by making just judgments. And it gives lots of practical examples of that in the book of Proverbs. But if you're in authority, if you are a modern-day king, if we can put it that way, I don't know if you've ever thought about yourself that way, but if you're in authority, if you're a leader, you must exercise your authority. One of the worst things that leaders can do is abdicate authority. They just sit back and go, well, let's see what happens. Okay, or they just don't take up the responsibilities that they've been given. And so if you have authority, you must exercise it. But then the way that you exercise this authority, particularly, is by making just decisions, making good and just decisions. And so you're supposed to investigate the matter if you're a ruler. You're supposed to be focused on justice. You particularly must wipe off evil. You must wipe evil away. As a leader, and you're judging and exercising your authority, you must not allow evil to come close. And particularly also, Proverbs speaks quite a lot, and it says that you should treat the poor fairly. I wonder if, as I'm sharing, maybe just to help the folks taking notes, if you can leave the slide up just so they can, those who do can jot down the references as well. Leaders should also, and besides, I don't really like being on the screens, okay. Leaders should also be people of upright character. Proverbs says they should be righteous. They must be intent on speaking justice. They must also be prepared to speak up on different things. And so there is also this matter where leadership is a matter of character and making good decisions and doing that which is right. So Proverbs speaks to those in authority. Proverbs also speaks to those, to followers, to those under authority. Those under authority. And it's quite interesting that a whole lot of the Proverbs says, firstly, you must honor your leaders. You must honor the king. You must fear God, honor the king. Scriptures like that. And then it actually speaks quite a lot, I was quite surprised, that you must gain favor with your leaders where it is appropriate. I had to put in that where it is appropriate because I'm sure you've all been in a workplace where you take note of those people who are always trying to gain favor with maybe not such pure motives. You've never been one of them, obviously. Okay. But it says that because if you have favor with your leader, there's a benefit and a blessing that comes with your life. And so Proverbs speaks about ways to do that. Proverbs also says that we must be, that followers must be wise. They must be excellent at their jobs, great at their jobs. It says followers should be humble and self-controlled. And then it also tells followers that they should be patient. And sometimes as followers, we always, you know, we want to push up a little bit. Proverbs particularly says we must be patient and, by the way, speak gently towards our leaders. And so Proverbs, in terms of overview, addresses this topic in a very practical way. But as I said this morning, I want to spend most of the time on the sermon today looking at the principles that underlie these practices of honoring and gaining favor where appropriate, how to be wise and excellent, how to exercise authority in a way that ensures just decisions. And I'm sure as you think about these things, you know, I would love to give examples, and part of it is I don't have time, but if you go read any newspaper, if you go on any website, you could pick an example for yourself which you could measure against how Proverbs speaks and deals with what people could be doing as they exercise leadership. And so if we want to be wise people in God's kingdom, and we acknowledge that God's ways are the best ways, let's look a little bit at the rest of Scripture, particularly more parts of the New Testament, on how to have good relationships in this area of authority. Perhaps just a quick definition, it won't come up on the screen, but what do I mean when I talk about authority? Simply, I mean the right to give instructions or the right to give commands, the ability to basically be in charge, the right to be in charge. And so to try and help us remember what some of the scriptures say around right relationships or wise relationships with authorities, I thought to remind us all of our church's vision statement, and if we can bring it up as you're ready. Our church's vision statement says that we believe in God's kingdom should be in hearts and homes and beyond. And so what I'd like to do this morning is talk about this relationship, wise ties to authority. And we look at God's kingdom. How does authority work in God's kingdom? Then I particularly want to focus also on how does authority work in our hearts. And I would like to spend probably most of the time of the sermon on just those first two. If there's time at the end, I just want to give one idea for authority in the home and one idea for authority in beyond, because then you can take those ideas and you can go and think about them. And also, as this topic continues, we could possibly explore that more. So will you remember God's kingdom in hearts, homes, and beyond? Okay. So obviously, I'm not going to address this in this message, but let's just be mindful that it's God's kingdom, not ours. Okay, so we're focusing much more on doing it God's ways, and God is the king in his kingdom. So let's look at authority in God's kingdom, authority in God's kingdom. And we're going to go to a number of scriptures because I've asked you just to see if you can govern your experience by what the scriptures say. Whether your experience has been good or bad, let's make the scriptures primary in this area. So if we look in the book of Colossians in chapter 1, verse 16, it speaks a lot about the cosmic work, the grand scope of Christ's work in the creation of the world. But you'll see I've highlighted in some of the scriptures, just bolded some parts of the words because they're particularly relevant. Colossians 1:16 says, speaking of Jesus, by the way, it says, "For by him, by Jesus, all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by him and for him." And so the first fundamental idea in God's kingdom about authority is that authority was created by God. Authority, therefore, is God's idea. Authorities do not exist because of the fall of mankind in Genesis 3, because Adam and Eve messed up. Then leaders didn't come because the devil made us do it. Leaders are God's idea. Now, for some of you, I understand that might be relatively shocking, because maybe you don't like leaders, depending on the decisions and the choices and the experiences you've had in your life. And maybe that this morning, this is just the one idea that should stick, is that authority is very much God's idea. It was created by him, Colossians 1:16 says, and for him. Rulers and authorities are God's idea. And so that makes it even more important as to why I must position myself appropriately towards authorities, because they are God's idea. We're talking about authority in God's kingdom. And so what I'd like to just speak a little bit about is, so if authority is God's idea, how should authority be exercised? If authority is God's idea, how should authority be exercised? And so this is for those who are in leadership and who exercise leadership. But I want to point out that you exercise self-leadership over your life. So you should be exercising authority over yourself. Is that okay? So everybody is a leader this morning. Are we okay? All right. Take the mantle. Own it. Everybody is a leader. First thing I'd like to point out is that authority, because it's God's idea, created by God, should reflect the Father's character and heart. Authority should reflect the Father's character and heart. And a great scripture to always remember as a leader, even as a leader of yourself, is this passage in Exodus 34, verse 6 and 7. And we're not going to turn there. But this is the passage where Moses is asking God to reveal himself, to show him who he is, his character, and to show him his heart. And so God puts Moses in the cleft of the rock on the mountain, and then he passes by and he proclaims to Moses who he is. It's this self-revelation of God. And in this passage is a couple of things that are mentioned, and I'm just going to highlight them as we discuss this idea that authority should reflect the Father's character and heart. God walks by Moses and he declares that he's God who is compassionate. Authority should be compassionate. God is gracious. Authority should be exercised in a gracious way. It says that God is slow to anger. Parents, did you hear that? Slow to anger. Authority should not get angry quickly. If you have a trigger temper, you're not exercising authority in a way that reflects the character and the heart of God. Authority should abound in love. Remember, as I started sharing, I said that you're deeply loved. And one of the things that happens is when we hear the word authority, we tend to associate it. You know, there's certain words which I think are soft words, you know, like love, mommy, soft words, okay? But then there's other words which we tend to regard as being harder. So when you hear the word authority, for probably most of us in the room, it was more on the hard side than on the soft side. Is that fair? Fair statement. Okay, people in front agree, okay? It says that authority should abound in love. If you're a leader of a company, your own company, you work in maybe a structured organization, you must love your followers. God's ways are the best ways. And authority should reflect God's ways. You should love your followers. Not like Hollywood love, obviously. Okay, there's ethics for that kind of stuff. But love like you have their best interests at heart. Authorities must have the best interests of their followers. Leaders must have the best interests of their followers at heart. Perhaps you should go and sit in your office or at your desk this week and you go, well, how am I going to love? And you start listing the people that report to you directly. Authority, God, must be faithful, must be consistent and impartial. It must always do what it says it's going to do. Authority, reflecting the character and the heart of God, should be forgiving because God is always forgiving. The scripture also says that as God walks by Moses, he says he won't leave the guilty unpunished. And that parallels this idea in Proverbs that authorities must make just decisions because God is just. And you don't just let, because you love people, let them get away with anything. There's a justice element, not letting the guilty go unpunished element in authority as well. That's why parents, your children, as much as you love them, can't behave any way that they want. Because you can't let the guilty go unpunished. So in God's kingdom, in this world where authority is God's idea, because it's his idea, it should reflect the Father's character and heart. Second thought on authority in God's kingdom is that authority should be exercised as by one who serves. As by one who serves. If you're exercising authority, you are a servant. We want to read this passage in Mark chapter 10, verse 42 to 45, because it speaks about how Jesus defines this idea that authorities, leaders, are servants. In Mark chapter 10, verse 42, it reads, it says, Jesus calls his disciples together. They've just been having a fight, by the way. The disciples of Jesus had a fight, okay, about who was going to be at Jesus' right hand and left hand, okay, who was going to be number one and number two in the kingdom of God. And they've been having this discussion, and Jesus calls them together because he, quite frankly, realizes that they've missed the point. Mark 10, 42. Jesus calls the disciples, and he said, you know that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them. The Gentiles here would be the unbelievers. They lord it over them. The high officials exercise authority over them. So these guys aren't exercising authority in a way that reflects the character and the heart of God. They are lording it over. And then these amazing four words Jesus says to his disciples and he says to us today. Not so with you. Not so with you. I plan in my life never to write a book, by the way, but if I were to write one on leadership, I think I'd call it Not So With You. Because leadership in the kingdom of God is not like leadership often in the Gentile, or shall we say the ways of the world context. It's a pattern that is different. And as disciples of Jesus, we need to choose which pattern we're going to follow. Not so with you, Jesus said. And then he lays down the pattern for how authority should be exercised in the kingdom of God. He says, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. I just want to pause there. There's nothing wrong with godly ambition. Whoever wants to be great. You should want to be a great leader. You're a son and a daughter of God. You must want to be a great leader. But if you do, you don't lord it over. You become a servant. Whoever wants to be first must be the slave of all. then this amazing phrase, for even the Son of Man, for even Jesus, who is God in the flesh, did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many, which speaks about a sacrificial life that he lived. And so leaders must serve. When you want to exercise authority in God's kingdom, the place you start in your heart is, how do I serve my followers? How do I serve my family? How do I serve my children? Character and nature of God, character and heart of God in authority, but the heart is always to serve. And not, definitely not, to lord it over. So authority is God's idea. How should authority be exercised? It must reflect the character and heart of God. It must be exercised as a servant. And then the last idea on this point this morning is it must also be exercised as one who will give an account. As one who will give an account. So I'm going to read Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17 shortly. It will be worthwhile to turn there because this verse also speaks a whole lot into the next point that we're going to look at. But every leader, every authority, even as you as an authority in your own life, you give an account, whether to other leaders or authorities in this life. But ultimately, you also give an account to God for how you've exercised authority. I try not to do this too often because it scares me, quite honestly. But one day, I will stand in front of Jesus. And one of the things I will need to explain, I guess, or give an account for is, what did I do, Jesus, with the authority that you gave me in my life? What did I do with the authority you gave me in others' lives, in my family? What do I do with the authority you gave me in my home? What did I do with the authority that you gave me in the workplace and in wider areas? Sobering thought. Well, at least I find it sobering. Tends to balance the power trip, by the way. Okay, right back. So, Hebrews 13, 17. This verse particularly, by the way, speaks quite a lot about authority. And I've highlighted the relevant part for this point in this passage, and we'll change it up a little bit just now. Hebrews 13, 17 says, obey your leaders and submit to their authority. Your leaders keep watch over you as men and women who must give an account. Obey them so that their work will be a joy and not a burden, for that would be of no advantage to you. So this scripture is very clear that authorities are men and women who must give an account. And so when we exercise God's authority, we must always be mindful that there is a higher authority that we will give an account to. Perhaps it's your supervisor, your boss, your CEO, but ultimately it is also God. So authority in God's kingdom runs off this one main idea. Authority is God's idea. And that affects how we exercise authority. It exercises the position from which we exercise our authority, which is the position of a servant. And it also makes us accountable because we'll give account to God. So if we go back to our vision statement, God's kingdom in hearts, homes, and beyond. In God's kingdom, authority is God's idea. Let's talk a little bit about authority in our hearts. Okay, authority in our hearts. My heart and authority. I wonder what your experience or your heart towards authority is if you consider your life experience. And I'd like to address this one fundamental idea in this point is that how do I live under authority? How do I live under authority? If authority is God's idea, how do I live under authority? And this is true for all of us. All of us end up at some stage living under authority. And I want to keep us in the passage of Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 17 because it introduces some helpful concepts when we want to answer this question from a wise place, from God's wisdom's place in how to live under authority. So if we can bring Hebrews 13, 17 back up, I've highlighted some different words in this section. When I live under authority, I must obey my leaders. I must submit to them. Obey your leaders and submit to their authority because they keep watch over you as men who must give an account. Obey them so that their work will be a joy, not a burden, for that would be of no advantage to you. And I want to speak a little bit about obedience, this idea of submission and advantage. But before we get into that, I want to highlight one very, very important aspect of living under authority. So idea number one of living under authority is when you live under authority, you live prayerfully. You live prayerfully. You're always mindful that there is a higher authority. The Father, God, is the highest authority. And no matter what your boss over you, the leader over you, your parent over you, because parents are authorities, just for the teenagers in the room, no matter what they're like, there is one who is higher. And sometimes when we come in a difficult place with authorities, I would so recommend that you don't forget to pray. Pray for your leaders. Pray that justice would come. Pray that they would exercise authority in a godly way. You can pray for yourself as well. Just not those, God, please help me. Okay. Pray that you are wise. Pray that you are skillful at your job. Pray that you stay humble. Make those choices to align with it. So although I'm not going to talk in an expansive way about prayer this morning, please remember that when you live under authority, it's critical that you pray. Particularly if you're in a conflict situation with your leaders. Often we talk about how do we confront conflict and the labor law and all these different things. I would so encourage you to start with prayer when you live under authority. Now let's look at the three concepts that this verse highlights for us. And I want to talk that when we live under authority, we need to live obediently. We need to live obediently. And on the screen, I've put up this idea that there's things that are matters of preference. Most of the instructions that we get from our leaders, whether they be our parents, our bosses at work, our leaders in the church context, probably 95%, there's no survey on this, but I'm guessing about 95% of the instructions that we get from our leaders have to do with matters of preference. Like what time you should be at work is a matter of preference. What time staff meetings are is a matter of preference. That you should make your bed, obviously that's God's will, but it's a matter of preference. Do you understand? The vast majority of instructions we get from our leaders are about matters of preference. There is no Bible verse that says work starts at 8 or at 9 in the morning. There's no scripture that says that church starts at 9:30. It's a matter of preference. And so what the scriptures are saying to us, when I live under authority, I should be an obedient follower because most of what I'm getting called to do is a matter of preference. You might find on occasion that there are also matters of ethics. If your leader goes and tells you, your authority goes and tells you to rob a bank, that's not a matter of preference. The scriptures speak very clearly on that. Little one, thou shalt not steal. Okay. And so on matters of ethics, you'll probably find that most of the instructions your leaders give you are in line and appropriate with the way that God wants us to live. But what if your leader does tell you to do something unethical? I want to suggest that you're obliged to disobey. And when we talk about the next point, which is about submit to your leaders, I'll explain this a little bit more clearly because obedience and submission are a little bit different. But where the instruction from your authority is against God's clearly revealed will, you are obliged to disobey, as the apostles did when they got instructed by the Jewish leaders, the Jewish authorities, to stop preaching in the name of Jesus. With a yielded heart, a respectful heart, they exercised what we could call radical disobedience. I want to say that obedience is beyond personality. If you and your boss or your leader have a personality conflict, that's not a justification. That's not a matter of ethics. That's you are different. And you should still be prepared to obey them. So we should live under our leaders obediently. But this verse says that we must obey our leaders, and then it says we must submit, Hebrews 13:17, we must submit to our authorities. Now, straight away, for a lot of you in the room, you heard that word submit, and you had a stiffening of the neck. And if you controlled it on the outside, perhaps it was stiffening in your heart. Particularly if you're not of the male gender, I'm guessing. Just a wild thought. Because we hear this word, and I think sometimes we don't understand it. So, obedience is an action. How do we live under authority? To live under authority in a way that is submissive means that I live with a respectful and yielded heart. To have a submissive attitude means I have a respectful and yielded heart. So notice that obedience is about an action. It's what you do. Submission is a positioning of your heart, or if you want to say, an attitude in your heart. It's a heart that is respectful of leaders, because authority is whose idea? God's idea. And so because it's God's idea, it was created for him and by him, I need to be respectful towards authority. So I have a respectful heart. A yielded heart means that whenever there's an opportunity to cooperate, I'm going to cooperate and I'm going to work with the authorities. And we'll look at why that's good for you just now. But submission is a much more idea of an attitude or a posture of your heart, a heart that is respectful and a heart that is yielded, that wants to cooperate and work with because authorities are God's ideas. And that's easy on all matters of preference, and where the ethics are aligning with God's word, that is also easy. Now, here's two converse statements. Firstly, you can obey your leaders but still be rebellious in your heart. You can still go, well, I'll do it because I want to keep my job, but you suck. Sorry, okay. Because what's the attitude in my heart? It's not respectful. So you can obey and still have a rebellious attitude in your heart. In the same way, you can disobey and be respectful and yielded. Go rob the bank. I'm trying to use an extreme example. I hope it's never happened to any of you. Okay. Go rob the bank. I'm sorry, ma'am or sir. I can't do that. I am respectful, but disobedient. Do you understand? So obedience is about what you do. Submission is an attitude in the heart. And you obey your leaders as far as you possibly can. But when they tell you to do something that is unethical, with a respectful heart and a yielded heart, you very firmly disagree. Now, the law of averages would tell me, I don't have a word of knowledge or anything on this, is that there would be some here in the room, given what is regarded as common knowledge in the news reports and in society today, is that in South Africa, we're experiencing high levels of corruption. And so I'm guessing, in terms of the law of averages, that there are some who are sitting here who are being pressured to do things that are unethical. And I particularly want to invite you after the service, when we pray in front, that you come. Because one of the ways you live under authority is prayerfully. Make it a matter of prayer. If you're in that situation, please get with your pastor. Get some Christian brothers and sisters around you who can support you in prayer. And then just document everything. Okay? Be wise. Proverbs, wise, practical. Document everything. But if there's pressure on you, get people around you who can support you. Make it a matter of prayer. If God says move, then you move. If he says stay, then you stand. And then he will make you strong enough. And I know it's not this simple. I know it's what about my family and how do we pay the bills? I understand that completely. But we have to start in a place of God's principles. So we live under authority with a respectful and yielded heart. Last one, how do we live under authority, is we need to recognize authorities as God's provision for us. You need to recognize that authorities are God's provision for you. This last little phrase in Hebrews 13:17 says that you must obey your leaders so that their work will be a joy, because if you're a burden, that would be of no advantage to you. Part of the idea of authority and why Proverbs says so strongly you must work to gain favor with the authorities is that your authorities are God's provision in your life. They are meant to bring an advantage, if I want to use the literal language from Hebrews 13, they are meant to bring an advantage in your life. Now, this might be perhaps for some, well, a little higher grade, that if you think of that difficult boss you had, you know the one? He or she was God's provision for you. Ouch. So sometimes if you're in a difficult situation with a leader, one of the important things to do is you pray, is you say, God, why did you provide this person for me? What are you building in my life? What character, what aspect are you teaching me to pray about? And so if we start with a place that the leaders we have, whether they're Christian or not, whether they're righteous people or corrupt people, are God's provision in our lives. And perhaps you're called to stand, and God is teaching you to stand if you have a difficult situation. Your leaders are meant to be an advantage for you. And when you're flowing with your leaders, you're obeying them on matters of preference, where they're aligned with God's word, there's a blessing and an advantage that comes on your life. You're not called as a Christian to be a difficult follower. Okay, sorry, I'll move right on. Let's go really quiet. So God's kingdom in hearts, homes, and beyond. In God's kingdom, authority is God's idea. What's my attitude in my heart towards authority? I need to be prayerful. I need to be obedient. I need to have a respectful, yielded heart. See, I'm not using the word submissive. Are you happy? Respectful and yielded heart. And I need to recognize that authorities are God's provision for me. They're meant to be an advantage in my life. Two quick thoughts, and then we're going to pray. Hearts, homes, authority, and my home. And I really just felt this morning to share one idea in this area, because there's probably a year's worth of sermons that we could speak around authority and wisdom in the home. But I think one of the fundamental ideas is one of the Ten Commandments from Exodus chapter 20 and verse 12, which says that in a home, God's authority starts with honor your father and mother. And all the parents said, amen. Okay, honor your father and mother. Two quick thoughts just on that, if I may. This is not a matter of culture. This idea, all the ideas I've said so far about authority are not about culture. Sociologists will tell us that different cultures handle authority differently. They call it power distance. How a culture, the gap between the leaders and the followers, how cultures are prepared to tolerate that and how they manage it and how they deal with it. But what I would request you to do this morning is to take these ideas from God's word, the kingdom ideas, and work them back into your culture. Now, as I was preparing, I felt this, and it's so interesting, I've never thought of it this way before, that in many homes, the idea they lean towards honor your father. And the honor your mother part is not weighted in. And so I would encourage you, as you think about your home, is it a place where father and mother are equally honored, equally respected in the home? Or is the home actually orientated towards honor your father? Is that okay? So we're not going to do prayer ministry on this or anything, and I know all the mothers will want to love me a whole lot now. But just this idea that perhaps it's for your life groups, perhaps it's a discussion in your home, is that how in your home, authority being God's idea, are father and mother honored equally, is the implication of the text. Okay. So in our home, let's father and mothers be honored together. I just wanted to share that quickly. Last point, God's kingdom in hearts, homes, and beyond. So what about authority and my beyond? And yeah, we're starting to talk about things like Christians in the workplace, and how do I live out my testimony in the work. And the base idea that I just want to introduce this morning as well is that how you exercise and respond to authority in your beyond, in your workplace, in your school, in your university, how you exercise and respond to authority in this area is also part of your testimony. It's a very important part of your testimony. Turn with me in your Bibles or on your devices to 1 Peter chapter 2, and we want to read from verse 11 to verse 15. Verse 11 to verse 15. Peter writes and he says, "Dear friends, I urge you as aliens and strangers in the world," aliens not like, okay, not the weird ones, just foreigners. The word means foreigners. "That you live like a foreigner and a stranger in this world system. I urge you as friends and aliens and as foreigners in this world system," remember the "not so with you," okay, "not so with you" part, "abstain from the sinful desires which war against your soul." Peter goes on and he says, "Live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us." And so we're largely comfortable with that, because my lifestyle in the office, my lifestyle at work, my lifestyle at school, my lifestyle on the university campus is part of my testimony. Now, Peter's just shared this idea, and then he goes to such an interesting example. Watch the next verse. "Submit yourselves. Have a yielded and respectful heart Position your heart as yielded and respectful. Why? For the Lord's sake. Not because you like your boss, not because your leader is a Christian, or because your parents are fair, but because you're conscious of God. For the Lord's sake. Have a yielded, respectful heart for the Lord's sake to every authority instituted amongst mankind, men. Whether to the king as a supreme authority or to governors who are sent by him to punish those who do wrong, so whatever level of authority is delegated, and to commend those who do right. Some scary words next. For it is God's will that by doing good you should silence the talk of ignorant and foolish men. Part of your doing good is living with a respectful, yielded heart. Part of your testimony is having a submissive heart. And so how you exercise authority in the character and nature of God as a servant and as one who will give an account, and how you respond to authority prayerfully, obediently, yielded heart, respectful heart, and recognizing that your leaders are God's provision for you, is part of your testimony in the workplace. And so as you're sitting in your office this week, think about, how am I modeling to the pagans around me? Okay? What is my testimony about how I respond and interact with authority? And then you can bring in those two ideas of authority in God's kingdom and authority in the heart. And so what has your experience of authority been? Perhaps as a leader, you haven't quite reflected the character of God's heart. I would so invite you to settle that. Ask God to give you his heart for the people you lead. Determined to exercise and model the character and the heart of God as you're leading. And as we pray just now, if you want to make something right there where you know you've been unjust or specifically unfair, I'll give you opportunity to pray. But I'm guessing for most of us, we've all experienced at some stage some damage from authorities, where we've been hurt by those who were God's provision to lead us, whether that's in the home, in the workplace, or even further beyond. Proverbs 24, 21, because we are talking about Proverbs. Proverbs 24, 21 says, "Fear the Lord and the king, and do not join with the rebellious." Don't join with those whose hearts are disrespectful and stubborn and difficult. I'd like to make opportunity, if you have been damaged by leaders, that we're going to stand and pray that you can forgive them for not exercising authority in an appropriate way. And we're going to trust God to come and love your heart to a place where you can be healed. Because then you can experience all the advantage and the blessing that God has intended in your life from the leaders that he has provided for you. So can I invite everyone to stand? And then we're going to pray. Can we forgive first? Forgiveness is a fundamental principle in the kingdom of God, if you need to forgive. Why don't you pray with me and after me if you need to. Father, I want to pray for those who've been damaged by authority that has not been exercised in a godly way. For those that have been damaged by authority that has been abusive and harsh and critical. And Lord, as we each stand here and where it's appropriate, we want to forgive those who've damaged us in this area. Lord, we forgive them today. And if you're remembering maybe specific people, just apply that forgiveness to their life as well. Just say, Lord, I forgive so-and-so, and I forgive. Lord, we want to be a people whose hearts are like your heart, forgiving sin that is against us. And so today, Lord, as a people, we forgive those authorities that have damaged us. We forgive those authorities that have stolen and manipulated and have withheld blessing and benefit from us in our personal lives. And perhaps even, Lord, broader, on a wider scale, in companies and in government, and maybe even on an international scale, where damage has been done by authorities, Lord, we forgive. And Lord, where we have not demonstrated your character and heart as we have exercised authority, maybe not even towards ourselves, where we've been unduly critical and hard and critical of ourselves. Lord, forgive us for not exercising authority according to the nature and the character of who you are and who we know you are. So Lord, I pray for us as a body of believers. I pray that as we relate appropriately to authority, as we've shared this morning, as we choose this day to relate to authorities in a way that is biblical and not cultural, in a way that is biblical and not as defined in our families, as we put your ways first, because God's ways are the best ways. I pray, Lord, that as a community here at Hatfield, you increase our authority in the Spirit, that we can become a people who pray and rule in the heavenlies with an authority that is from God, with a power that is from God, and that we can change things in our nations, in our families, in our extended families, in our immediate families, and also in our lives. Lord, my prayer today is that we would be a people who carry the authority of God in the Spirit well. Help us to be instruments of justice and righteousness. Help us to be wise and humble and patient, as the book of Proverbs says. I pray this in Jesus' name. Now bless each one today as they go home. May they carry your presence and your power with them and keep them safe in this week. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Thank you again for being here today. We look forward to seeing you next week. If you need prayer on any matter, or specifically if you're in a tight, difficult situation at work, the pastors and the prayer team will be here in front. You're so welcome. We'd love to pray with you.